Amen. Let's get our Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 5. We're going to Luke chapter number 5, and we're going to begin starting at verse 17. And it says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law." Now, quick pause right there. I looked that up, and we'll get Pastor's official answer after this. But from what I found is these were people who were scholars of the Mosaic law. These were people who were in religious law, highly knowledgeable in religious law. And it said, law, "sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." We're going to get back to that. We will get back right there. But the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Present to heal them. It doesn't say that he did heal them. It was present to heal them. That bothered me. That greatly bothered me. It says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed his own house to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, What have we seen strange things today?" Amen, amen. There's a lot in that. One, we see people present to be healed by God. The power of God was present there to heal. And they left unchanged. But this man left individually on his own with two changes. Two changes. Amen. For a short little bit of time tonight, I want to preach to you, why leave unchanged? Why leave unchanged? Let's put our Bibles down and ask the Lord for his help here tonight. Jesus, I want one more time if we can give him a hand clap tonight. A good hand clap of praise from the heart. He deserves our very best tonight. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Amen. Change is something that everyone has to experience in every part of life. Simply just the task of growing up is a change that everyone has to experience. Learning how to walk. Before you walk, you crawl. And I assure you, whether you think it or not, this is a big change for parents. And I know all the parents totally understand this as well. But it is a big change, especially with twins. The Culbertsons understand this. You got two not moving at all, and all of a sudden two going in opposite directions at the exact same time. And then they can walk and run, and you've got two sprinting in opposite directions at the exact same time. It's not an easy task with this change. Amen. But we progress through multiple stages of school. We go through kindergarten. I was homeschooled, so I don't have all the technical terms, but you got middle school, high school, college, and all of these are changes for an individual. Amen. After you graduate school, we all get something called jobs. At least I hope we do. We get jobs. And this then is a big change for each and every single one of us. We get jobs that sometimes people have jobs when they're 14, 15. Others don't get a job until they graduate. And after you get a job, then the next stage of life eventually comes, and that's marriage. And that is a very, very big change. And you have to learn how to live with a complete, total different person that you've never lived with in your entire life. That in itself is a change. I know there are also negative changes that can happen in our life. You can have family members pass away. You can have your house burned down or whatever. But there are negative changes that happen in your life. However, all the ones that I just mentioned typically are all positive changes. I just Googled. I want to see what it would tell me. But tell me something good about change. And it just said change simply can be you are consistently growing and gaining experience and knowledge and wisdom. And I thought that was pretty good. But in tonight's passage of scripture, in our text, we read in verse number 20, one of the first changes that we see here. And it was the first change, it was a spiritual change. It says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. This is a spiritual change in this man's life before anything else happened. None of us here tonight are exempt from a spiritual change. We all must first receive the gift of the Holy Ghost if we even expect to make it into the kingdom of God. How we get the Holy Ghost? Glad you asked. Acts chapter number 2 and verse 38, and it says, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Means no one's exempt. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Like I said, this goes for all of us. Psalms 51 in verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All of us were conceived, which means all of us were born and shapen in iniquity. Romans chapter number 3 in verse number 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. A little bit further in verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Each of these verses illustrate how we all are born when in sin. We cannot be born and immediately be saved. This was not God's plan. But we all have sinned, and if we desire to make heaven our home, we must have a new birth experience. We must experience change. Amen. You think of the Acts chapter 2 in verse 38, and it says, repent. Repent. You cannot repent unless you change. Repentance is turning from your ways. Everything that you used to do, completely turning and doing an about face and changing from your old ways. Amen. You think of the next part and it says, be baptized in Jesus' name. You don't see just normal people every day on a day-to-day basis being baptized. In my opinion, for an individual, if they're getting baptized, this is a change. Especially if it is done the Bible way, the right way. You repented of your sins, you ready for those sins to be washed away? In comes another change. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. This is the reason that we have to change our ways. Because Satan roams to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. I'll tell you, I tried thinking long and hard about this. But the more I thought, Satan's main goal is to keep you unchanged. If he can keep you unchanged, you're not going to repent. You're not going to turn from your old ways. But how you came in from the world, unchanged. This is why Satan is not completely focused and scared of the Catholics. This is why he's not scared of the Baptists and the Trinitarians. It's because they go and have church and remain unchanged. changed. They are completely unchanged. Their women still look like all the other women in the world with their pants and cut hair. Their men still resemble everybody else in the world. But this is why he's afraid of you, child of God. It's because you've been changed. You've been changed by the blood of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And this is why it's also so important that every single service that we show up, that we plug in, that we get in tune with the Spirit of God. We can't let a service go by not paying attention, not giving it everything, because there is an enemy out there. This is a spiritual warfare, whether you think it or not. We might think we can leave the church and we could go have a vacation from church, and the next day we think about him is when we come into the next service. But that's not possible. That's not right. He's consistently warring against the mind, warring against your soul, wanting to pull you back from the time that you changed. In Jesus' name. Oh, can we lift our hands and love him right now? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just another verse to go along with what I was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. And it says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'm telling you, we've got to be changed. We got to be changed. We got to live a changed lifestyle. Amen, amen, amen. We can go in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. As I was saying, verse number 11, it says, and such were some of you, but ye have been washed. You are sanctified and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of your God. Amen. This is why it is important to stay prayed through. This is important not to take for granted a worship service. This is important not to neglect your prayer life, neglect anything about the house of God, because you are consistently being attacked. Amen, amen, amen. We can go along and we see a second change. The second change in verse number 24. And it says, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Go into thy house. Amen. That very last bit part of it. Amen. But I wonder here tonight, who still has faith? Who has faith that God can do the exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think? Do you still have that kind of faith here tonight? Do you have faith that God can do anything at the snap of his fingers or just at the word? Do you have that kind of faith? Jesus' name. Sometimes, and this was one thing I felt in prayer, but sometimes I really question our faith, to say, not your specific, not mine, just in general, someone's faith. If you have an issue and you come and you get prayed for on a Sunday night and pastor prays for you and there's no healing, there's no miracle, what kind of faith do we show by not coming again? By not coming again, do we still have the faith that God can heal or do the miracle that we asked him to do that Sunday night? Or in the process of the 2 to 3 days, did we lose faith? So I want to know if we can, if we can have consistent faith. Consistent faith. It doesn't matter if I didn't get my miracle Sunday night, God. I'm coming back Tuesday night. I don't even care if it's prayer, but I'm coming back Tuesday night because I believe you're going to heal me on Tuesday night. That's consistent faith. If God doesn't heal you Tuesday night, what are you going to do then? Like, oh God, I don't care if you don't heal me Tuesday night. I still have the faith and I'm going to have the pastor lay hands on me and I'm coming again Wednesday night. And if you don't heal me then, God, I'm coming back again Sunday morning and we're going to do this all over again until I die or I get my healing, Lord. Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I wonder if we still believe the faith where God in the past, he could heal the leprosy. But that God, that's the same back then, he's the same today. He can still heal cancer in a service. That God who healed disease and sickness back then can still heal your disease and sickness right now on a Wednesday night. I don't care what night it is. That God who healed and took care of any problem can take care of any addiction that you might be facing tonight. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh God, let's worship him right now. Oh, in Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I don't have much further. As a matter of fact, we can all stand right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But if we can pull up verse 17. And I told you we'd be getting back to it. And this is really where I fell. And it says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sent by which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And he had the power, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Was present. You can read all along and you never see where the power of the Lord actually changed and healed any of these scholars, any of the Pharisees, any of the doctors of the law in this chapter. But it was present. And this one man, as I stated before, this one man got what he was going for. He left changed and everybody else left completely unchanged. Amen. The Bible says that there were a multitude, not just Pharisees and the doctors of the law, but there was a multitude. And this is why they had to go and tear the roof off a house. It's because of the multitude. But we only read of one man who left that house unchanged. One man changed and a multitude unchanged. And so I have a question for you here tonight. Why, when the power of God visits our church like he is here right now, why should you have to leave out those doors unchanged? You should not have to leave this place unchanged. I don't care what your problem is. I don't care if it's a healing that you're needing. I don't care if it's an addiction you've dealt with over and over. But why should you have to leave those doors unchanged? I know a God that's willing to change you tonight. Oh, my God's ready to take care of whatever situation that you have to present him tonight. Oh, let's pray right now. Oh, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's it, let's pray. Oh, God. In Jesus' name. Some of you, you're battling the same thing over and over. And the devil's lying to you, telling you that you will never change. You will always be the same and deal with the same issue. Oh, but I disagree. Because my God's here to change you tonight. So that's it. Let's pray.